Hello and welcome to the Saturday edition of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Be sure to follow OTG on Twitter at OTG Basketball. I'm Nick Fay. With me as always on the NBA Outlet, my man Harris Wichard.
What's up, Nick? Lots to talk about from last night. A huge action-packed Friday night in the NBA. So looking forward to that and then previewing some of the action today. Definitely happy to be here with you, and let's get rolling.
Yeah, let's get rolling. Before we talk about those games, I want to ask your thoughts about, OKC Warriors on Thursday night. Obviously, the game wasn't what we wanted, but what's your initial thoughts, the feel between Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook?
I like it because it brings back what I've been calling for in the competition in the league, and a lot of people are very sensitive about it today, and everybody's got to be best friends.
Very true.
Everybody's got to be friendly, and it's bigger than basketball, but basketball was initially invented, in my opinion, to compete against one another. And you don't have to be best friends off the court. And you don't have to be enemies off the court. But what we saw is the beginning of a great rivalry. We saw Enes Kanter getting involved. We saw Steven Adams on the bench getting involved. Now, Durant obviously played fantastic, and he had 39 points. But I think the back and forth between the two, obviously the Warriors have the better team. Westbrook did everything in his power, and they lost the game, and it was their first loss. But they had a back-to-back. They played the Clippers, and OKG mentioned that on TNT, how he would have liked to see Westbrook fresh. But my initial take from that game was that we have a very good rivalry on our hands, and the Thunder will probably look to add somebody to compete with them at some point during the season or in the future. But just to see that initial back and forth, like a good old schoolyard fight, and I mentioned to you, it's like bringing a hot date to your ex's wedding. And, Durant coming back, showing the Thunder what he's got now, showing it off. Look at me. I'm on the Golden State Warriors now, talking all the smack. And, you got to respect Westbrook for staying true to the franchise. And obviously we know the Warriors dropped one last night to the Lakers. We'll get into that. But just my initial reaction, I don't know about you, is that I like it.
Yeah, no, I definitely like it. I felt bad for Westbrook. I wanted to see a competitive game. Kind of expected OKC as a team to step up a little bit more, with the energy. Like, Westbrook, we know Westbrook needs this win. Like, let's go out there and leave it out there. And the Warriors did a good job of making it, like, extremely difficult for Westbrook from the get-go. Well, on the other hand, the Thunder really didn't do a lot to make Kevin Durant's life difficult. They gave him a lot of one-on-ones, not a lot of double teams. They kind of let him get hot, and then it was done from there. But enough about that. Let's talk about last night's games. First game of the night, Atlanta Hawks at the Washington Wizards. Wizards get the victory, 95-92. John Wall had himself a nice game. What are your thoughts?
I saw highlights of this one. I picked the Wizards to win this basketball game. I went 6-3 last night in my picks. I obviously dropped the Warriors and a couple others. I thought the Mavs would get their first win. But Hawks, Wizards... Yeah, John Wall is going to dictate where this team goes if they could make that push towards the eighth or seventh seed. We know that they're not the top four or five team they were in the past. For whatever reason, their camaraderie and chemistry isn't where it was a couple years ago when they were making that push to be a four or five seed. So the ceiling for this team for me is seven or eight. If Wall and Beal could get it together, Scott Brooks is a good young coach. And so if that team could put anything together, it's going to be winning games at home and maybe going a little under 500 on the road. But right now they've dropped their first two road games, giving up 107 points a game. It's a mess. But Atlanta dropped one they probably could have got, and that puts them at 3-2 now. But, Dwight Howard.
Atlanta dropped two in a row.
Yeah.
Two in a row, one coming to the Lakers and one to the Wizards. Probably teams that they might be better. At least I would say they're probably definitely better than the Lakers. But the Wizards are kind of in their competition, and they let the Wizards get their first one of the year.
Yeah, Dwight Howard looks a little bit less concerned about doing the nay-nay and more concerned about actually playing basketball this season. And I like the activity I've seen from him thus far. I don't know his stats off the top of my head. I could just see in his body language that he's pretty serious this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's his hometown, so and he kind of knows. He hears the critics, like Dwight doesn't care about if he wins or loses. He's just having fun, blah, blah, blah. On to the next one, a team in the East that's doing very well, and one of their players is off to an amazing start, and that's the Toronto Raptors. DeMar DeRozan is cooking. And they got the victory last night, 96-87.
Yeah, Drake's got to come out with a new song for DeRozan. He might need his own song, Nick. And
yeah,
he's been special.
He's had 30 points in the first five games of the season. MJ, I think, had it in six.
Yeah.
So, DeRozan, keep that up. He's in good talk right there.
We talk about the three ball a lot and the dunk, obviously, and the attack of the rim. But does anybody shoot the mid-range jumper better than DeRozan right now? And that was MJ's specialty. Not to put DeRozan anywhere the same category as MJ, because he's obviously not. But DeRozan's going to be a perennial all-star, obviously looking like an MVP candidate thus far. I don't think he'll be in the running towards the end of the year. But DeRozan's a very solid player, and his ability to create for himself makes him very unique. And in today's NBA, to be able to create into a jump shot, as we know Curry can do and Irving can do, but to have a two-guard do it as well as he does it is unique in today's game. So he doesn't need Lowry to create for him. Lowry could obviously create for himself. So DeRozan doesn't really need a ball screen, and that does help a lot in your offense when you can throw it to somebody they create for themselves.
Yeah, DeRozan really can turn nothing into something. You know, if you've seen him locked up and he's able to, you know, use that pump fake, that fadeaway, get an easy, not an easy shot, a tough shot, but he's able to hit it. He can hit some tough shots, and like you said, he relies on that mid-range game. He's really dynamic from there. So, I mean, I want to ask you, if the Raptors maybe win 55-plus games, DeRozan averages close to 30 points, does he have a chance at MVP at all?
He'll be in the conversation. I just don't think he's well-rounded enough to be the MVP. We've seen scorers get it before, like a Durant type of guy, but Durant does do a little bit more than DeRozan. Even Curry at times creates more for his teammates. But yes, if the Raptors win 55 plus, he'll definitely be in the conversation, but I'm not quite sure if he's good enough to be an MVP. Now, would I take that? I'm not taking anything away from DeRozan. He's a terrific player. But I just think it's going to be very tough for him to win the MVP. Would I be shocked if he did? No, I'd probably be a little surprised. There are some better players in the league, but DeRozan has been absolutely terrific.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you on this. I mean, he'll be in the contention, but like you said, I don't know if he makes his teammates better enough as, you know, a lot of other guys in this league. He's a great playmaker for himself, but playmaking for his teammates is something that he doesn't necessarily do a ton of. He's a good defender, though. So, but on to the next game. This game was a tough one for me. Charlotte Hornets, Brooklyn Nets. Hornets win by 4. Nets played hard. They're impressive in the first half, slowed down the second half. Hornets tightened up that defense. Kemba Walker had his best game of the season. What'd you think about this game?
Yeah, I saw highlights again. The Nets played well. Kilpatrick is giving them nice minutes and space on the floor a little bit. They're now without Lin. Vasquez didn't play again, correct?
Yep, correct. So Vasquez is still.
So no Lin, no Vasquez, no LeVert. Their backcourt is banged up. So they relied on Whitehead a little bit more than they probably wanted to, and Kilpatrick. Brooke Lopez has done a nice job taking his game to the perimeter and adapting to the new NBA, but too much Kemba, cardiac Kemba, as they call him, down the stretch for the Nets to get this one. But I think you have to like what you see from your Nets so far.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the Nets probably are one of the surprise teams so far this NBA season. You know, obviously only 2 wins, but they've been in every game pretty much. They're competing hard. They're having guys step up. A lot of hustle plays from him. Also, I like what I've seen from Sean Kilpatrick, like you mentioned. Coming off the bench, he's got some great numbers. He's definitely some things that I did not expect from him. So it's been a pleasant surprise, and the Nets are definitely doing a lot better than I thought they would. So, but it's a nice win for Charlotte, you know, starting the season 4-1. What do you think about them?
Yeah, Michael Jordan deserves a little bit of credit for the direction this franchise has gone in. They were in the playoffs as the Bobcats a couple years ago and lost to LeBron. Then last year with the, you know, having experiencing with Kemba and Lin, and now Lin goes to Brooklyn. Obviously, Lin didn't play last night, but this is another year where Kemba's continued to develop. They have a nice little core with Batum and some other young pieces inside. So this is a Charlotte team that's could win 45 again. Plus, we thought they'd be a little closer to 500, but nice start for them. As far as the Nets go, like I had mentioned, it's an exciting time, I think, because you realize that they've broken everything down, are going to build from the bottom up, and hopefully they get lucky in free agency if they could have a solid season. But you have to, I think, like what you see from a grit, as they have the Twitter handle, is the hashtag is Brooklyn Grit. I think you have to like what you see from certain guys in that regard.
Yeah, definitely a lot of energy, and this team plays hard every night. You got to love it as a fan. But on to the other team in New York, the New York Knicks. They were in Chicago last night facing the Bulls. Homecoming for Joakim Noah and Derrick Rose. You know, both spending a lot of time with Chicago. And they got the victory last night, 117-104. Probably the Knicks' best game of the season.
Yeah, Rose looked good. And he had a couple vintage Rose plays, which is going to excite the New York fan base. And they're going to be celebrating their champion. They're going to have a championship parade tomorrow after this win. That's how the fan base overreacts a little bit. No, I'm just messing around. I'm happy for them. And Rose and Noah look very enthusiastic and into this game. Rose showing more emotion in that game than he did when he hit a buzzer beater in the playoffs, which kind of makes no sense. But, yeah, it was nice to see them finally click. They finally feature Porzingis a little more than they have. And
27 for Porzingis last night.
Yeah, and Hornacek has been talking about that. So if they can get those four guys, and the minutes were up. Like, Rose played 40 minutes. Noah played, like, 38. So all the starters played a ton of minutes. Obviously, that's probably going to catch up to them a little bit, but in order for them to win games, their starters are going to have to play minutes, which is their bench is thin. They could easily go 500 or better if they play like they did last night.
They brought a lot of energy last night. Obviously, Rose and Noah playing in Chicago meant a lot, but I thought the most important thing last night, other than them picking it up a little bit defensively, was Porzingis getting the ball, you know, making sure they're making life easy for him, because then I think the previous game, he didn't even have a field goal. So that's something that you can't have with your cornerstone of your franchise moving forward. You know, you need to make sure life is great for Porzingis.
Absolutely. And just to touch on, I know we won't spend a ton of time on this game, but obviously if Muhammad is listening again, the Clippers got the best of the Grizzlies last night. Any takeaway for you for this basketball game last night?
Clippers just have a lot better offense. I mean, the Grizz, I guess, kept them under 100 at 99, but the Grizzlies have some major issues offensively. They need Chandler Parsons. Obviously, I don't think he's going to solve everything, but getting an offensive player like that will help. But I know it's been a tough start to the season for our boy Muhammad.
Yeah, 3-3 for the Grizz. This is a team with championship aspirations with a straight face, but I'll say it, playoff aspirations, high seed aspirations, and right now they're at 3-3. And obviously there's plenty of time, you know, 76 games, and even the next 10 games will tell you a lot more. But with the Grizz right now, I think it's a little bit of a struggle.
Yeah, offensively it's a struggle, and they rely a lot on Marc Gasol and Mike Conley. And I think they need to figure some things out over there. And this game was fun to watch. I don't know if you got to catch this one off the Pelicans. The Phoenix won overtime 112-111. Devin Booker was awesome.
Yeah.
Had some big time shots in this game. Also, sorry for the Pelicans. They haven't even got a win yet, and they're looking pretty bad.
I think someone told me that I play or look like Devin Booker one time, which is an extreme compliment because the guy fills it up. He had some shots in this game that were just freaky. Like, he had a three to tie it, and then Lance Stevenson shimmy-shaked and made a shot, and then Booker hit one in the corner, and then Booker in overtime hit a crazy shot.
He had one that, like, touched the backboard. Like, he was behind the backboard. It hit the top of the backboard, then it bounced in.
Yeah, so Booker was fantastic at 38. He's a guy to look out for as potentially an all-star-level player right now. But
yeah, I think that's his career high, too, 38.
Yeah. T.J. Warren is a guy that I've spoke about a lot, and it could be a sneak peek at the Harris's Hustler column, which will debut on Off the Glass on Monday. Hint, hint. He's been one of my favorite guys to watch. And the way he's developed into a solid player, he had a big dunk in this game that gave them the lead, I think. Or
that
it
gave
was an
them
over.
Win.
Yeah,
that yeah, it was for the win.
Yeah, that was for the win. So the young Suns team 2-4, but has played everybody tough. This is a team, like I told you, I think we've said this in our series, is going to be tough at home.
Yeah, this team, like the Nets, come out and they play every night. They don't care who they're facing. You know, they have some good players on this team: Eric Bledsoe, Brandon Knight. Like we mentioned, Devin Booker. Tyson Chandler's been rebounding well for this team, so they're not going to just fall down and give you an easy win, and that's something you can definitely appreciate. The Pelicans, on the other hand, I mean, I feel for Anthony Davis. This guy's putting up numbers. His teammates also don't do a great job of getting the ball a ton. Like in the fourth quarter and overtime, there was a couple of times they went down the floor, they didn't even give him a touch. You know, obviously the Suns are making it difficult in getting the ball, but as a coach and as a team, you need to make sure you get your best player the ball and a chance to succeed.
Yeah, absolutely, and you're right. They don't – but he gets so much attention, though, and there's not really a great second scorer on their team. So it's very tough.
I mean, as a coach, you gotta draw something up that if they're going to give him so much attention that you're going to end up getting one of your other guys an easy open shot.
Yeah, and sometimes Davis physically doesn't do a great job. I mean, I'm not being devil's advocate here. I'm just saying Davis physically isn't as strong as I think – listen, he's strong, but – sometimes it's on him, too, to demand the basketball.
Yeah, I see him, you know, call for the ball, and they just can't get it to him because they can't throw the right type of pass, or they're just, like, they're not moving enough without the ball, and they're just kind of waiting for him to get it on the high.
That's
that team has some major issues.
That's a rough situation. Let's talk about another rough situation team that hasn't won yet, the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
And this is a team that had a little higher expectation than what they're going through now. Wesley Matthews getting very frustrated. They gave up a 42 spot to our guy Dame Lillard. Shout out to Lillard in the definitely in the MVP talk early on. What did you take from this one?
Yeah, you said it all. I took Dame Lillard from this one. He was just dropping bombs from three. The Mavericks are not looking good. I mean, maybe the one highlight of this game, Justin Anderson had an awesome block in this game where he pins, I think, Amino's shot against the backboard. But Amino had a pretty good game. Mason Plumlee had a nice game for the Blazers too here. The Blazers need to take advantage of games like this, get the victories, because I think they're struggling a little bit more against the higher-up teams in the West this year. It'll be harder to kind of surprise everyone because they're on the radar, especially with the way Dame Lillard's playing. So that's what I have to say about the Blazers. But the Mavericks, it's been a disappointment. I mean, I thought they'd be for a lower playoff seed, but right now it looks like they're probably not even going to make the playoffs and hang around the bottom of the West.
Yeah, it's unfortunate where that franchise is headed and where they're going. But the Spurs bounced back last night after their only loss of the season was to Utah at home. The Spurs look pretty solid. They made the plays down the stretch. They beat a good young Jazz team on the road. Kawhi Leonard with some big shots. And who else really stuck out for you on the San Antonio side?
I mean, I think Kawhi pretty much stuck out the most because he's looking like an MVP candidate himself. He had 29 last night. His jump shot is looking super smooth. He's looking confident. And like I mentioned before, he's showing some more emotion. I mean, we kind of expected the Spurs to get this W. After, you know, they lost their home game to Utah, you know, they're not going to get beat by the same team twice. So I kind of expected this one to play out the way it did.
Yeah, me too. Anytime the Spurs lose one, they usually adjust well to that team the next time they play. They have the best coach in the sport for a while now in Greg Popovich. I think that's a hard statement to argue just because of his pedigree and his length and longevity that he spent with that franchise. So the last game of the night, the big surprise, big surprise, Curry's streak of 157 straight or 47 or 57?
157.
57 straight regular season games with a three comes to an end with an 0 for 10 from three performance. The Lakers, the gritty Los Angeles Lakers, find themselves at 3-3 at the bottom of the eighth spot in the Western Conference. Obviously very early, but as a Laker fan, a lot of optimism with some of these young pieces that have played well. Ingram was good last night. Obviously, Russell, Randall, you know, like the list goes on. You know, Clarkson's a guy I really like. So they beat the Warriors at home last night, a huge win for the Lakers.
For sure. I mean, the Lakers just beat the Hawks. They beat the Warriors. I mean, two of the better teams in the last few seasons. Laker fans are definitely happy. And, I mean, I was totally surprised. I thought the Warriors would get this win. And the Lakers come out with a lot of energy. They have some guys. Luke Walton's done a great job so far. Obviously, it's early. I mean, he's gotten some production, though, out of Nick Young, which is impressive as a coach. And I thought I was just, like, kind of baffled. I did not think this was going to happen. Then I saw when the Warriors got it to 9 at the end of the third quarter, and I was like, all right, well, we kind of know the Warriors are going to pull this one out. And then they didn't. So it says a lot about the Lakers, says a lot about Luke Walton, about this team. And it's kind of disappointing for the Warriors, you know, to get blown out by the Lakers is not a good look.
Well, absolutely. And the last thing I'll say about this one is they're six games in. The Warriors are going to have some growing pains. We know about the Heat that were 9-8. I didn't expect them to drop this one. But like I said, some of these losses are going to be beneficial to them because they're going to learn a lot more in losses than they do in wins, especially this group, in my opinion. I think once they find their stride, they're going to be able to rip off 20 in a row. And it's going to happen eventually. It's just a matter of time. And Curry's not going to go 0 for 10 every night. Obviously, it hasn't happened in 157 games. So a lot of things aligned last night for the Lakers, and they weren't amazing defensively. They were good. I think this was a little bit more of just the Warriors having a bad night. I don't want to take anything away from Los Angeles because Los Angeles was great. They were fantastic. I think the Warriors will rebound and continue to move forward. But the Lakers are a very good young team that at home, and Doug Collins pointed this out several times on the broadcast, this is a Laker team that's not going to be easy to beat in the Staples Center, and they have been easy to beat in the past in the Staples Center. I don't think that's the case anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And they have a lot of young players with a lot of talent that have a little bit of chippiness, and they have a great coach, I think, in Luke Walton. So I think, like you said, it's going to be tough to get a W in L.A. all the time. You're going to have to come to play and not kind of just stroll your way in. Do you think this Warriors team has any holes on the bench?
Yeah, they're missing some guys. They're missing some guys, and I think they'll figure it out. They have their most important bench pieces, Livingston, Iguodala, etc. But they, without Spates, without Barbosa, without Bogut, they're going to find that, they're giving up 108 points a game or whatever, 110 points a game. So their defense needs to be picked up significantly. I still think they'll be the one seed in the Western Conference. There's only six games in. A lot of people are going to want to overreact. They're not going to overreact, and they're going to figure it out and solve these problems. But you want to get to some of the picks today quickly?
Well, before we get to the picks, I got a question for you. Who is the worst team in the NBA? We talked about the Pelicans 0-6. We
The
talked about the
Sixers, the
Mavericks
Sixers, the
0-5.
Sixers.
You still think
0
it's
and
this
4.
0-4?
Yeah, I
You
think the
still
Mavericks and Pelicans would still beat the Sixers because it's a little bit tougher in the West, I still think, even though the record might not suggest would suggest otherwise. I think the Mavericks and Pelicans have way more firepower than the Sixers do. And so I think the Cavs and Sixers would be a pretty easy pick, the best team in the league right now versus the worst team in the league. And obviously my pick there, but I think the Sixers are still the worst team in the league.
Okay. I mean, I think the Sixers probably will still finish with maybe the worst season, but I don't know. The Pelicans are looking pretty bad. They can't seem to finish the game. They do have Anthony Davis though, so that makes it a lot better. And the Mavericks, I don't know. The Mavericks could also, I think, be in a bad season as well. Dirk's already, I think, going to miss a game. Darren Williams had like a slight injury already, so injuries start piling up in Dallas. Things will not look well.
Nick, the Sixers are averaging 90 points a game. The next lowest is 94. That's by the Jazz, who will only give up 93. Their point differential is minus 14, which is by far the worst in basketball. No one else is even minus 10. So this Sixer team is horrendous right now.
Well, talking about the Sixers almost beat the Magic. Would you consider the Magic in that conversation as well? Another win, though, so.
Magic too. I think the three worst teams in basketball right now are the Sixers, Mavericks, and Pelicans. It's not hard to say they're all winless, but I'd like to make some of my picks today, and I want to say, obviously, we know Cleveland is a lock. The one thing I want to say about Cleveland is that now that they see that they're the only team in basketball without a loss, they might try to rip this thing off. And I'm not going to quickly look at their schedule right now to see where they're going from here and seeing what kind of games they have. At Philly, we know that's probably going to be a win today. Then, like Atlanta at home, Washington, Charlotte, Toronto, Indiana, Detroit. You could look at it and towards the end of November, and the Cavs could still not have a loss.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely, even the teams that look like they could beat them, they could still pull off a W again.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about our picks tonight? You already mentioned the Sixers and Cavs, so we know that you're picking the Cavs. I think I got to go with the Cavs here too. It's pretty much the most obvious one of the night. Another early game, Minnesota at OKC. Who do you got?
Well, the Thunder, and I think they rebound well. And just to point this out before we get into it, we've done the picks in a few of our shows. Nick is has a 5-game lead on me right now, so I'm trying to make up some games, guys. And I, as I'm snacking on my Oreos later tonight, if I see some of these games, I'm gonna go with the Thunder, and I think you are too.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Thunder as well. They're going to bounce back against that big loss against the Warriors. And I mean, the Timberwolves have been consistent enough to really show me anything that I think they'll pull the upset.
All right, so I'll
Game.
ask you. Yep, what do you got?
Next game, Washington Wizards, Orlando Magic in Orlando. The Wizards coming off their first win of the season. Who do you got?
Washington, I think, gets the W. I think they're going to put together back-to-back wins. This is a game in the past that's given them a lot of trouble. Off a of back-to-back, on the road, could easily see them losing this one, but I'm going to go with Washington.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Washington as well. Like I mentioned before, look good. I know they pulled off to win against the Sixers and the Kings, but they haven't been impressive. There's some real issues in Orlando, so give me the Wizards, and I expect a big game from the backcourt.
Yeah, and this next one, I'll let me get into it with the Nuggets going to Detroit. 2-1 so far on a road for Denver. Can Denver pull the upset in Detroit?
It's been playing everybody tough. I got to give them credit for that. But I think Detroit, this is the type of game they need to win. Detroit kind of had a wasn't very impressive against the Nets, so I think they kind of bounce back, get this one against the Nuggets.
I agree. I think Detroit wins. So far we're all in agreement in the first four games. Let's see if we could disagree a little bit. Bulls Pacers in Indiana.
This one is tough. Because a part of me thinks maybe the Pacers will kind of fix their stuff, but the Bulls are also coming off a loss. Veteran team. Give me the Pacers.
I wanted to do that too, but now that you did, I was on the fence and I was kind of hearing what, seeing what you were going to do. Give me Dwayne Wade and the Bulls tonight. I know they're coming off a home back-to-back, but the Pacers have struggled a little bit. I know they've been 2-0 and they're a very good home team, but I'm going to play devil's advocate. Give me the Bulls on the road tonight to get a good win.
Yeah, that should be honestly one of the better games of the night. I'm kind of interested to see how that game unrolls because, you know, the Bulls having a lot of older players had to play that back-to-back last night. Wade had a big game last night, so it'll be interesting to see how he does tonight.
Rivalry alert, James Harden and Dwight Howard. The Rockets go to Atlanta.
This is an interesting game,
this
too.
I think this is the more interesting one of the night. I mean, there's a couple of good ones. We got one at 8:30 on NBA TV, but this, to me, is going to be the most interesting game of the night. Dwight Howard back to 16-12, facing off against Harden, who's put up ridiculous numbers in the first few games. Who do you got?
Give me James Harden and the Rockets.
Ooh.
I like the way the Rockets are playing. The Hawks, I mean, they're coming off two losses. They don't really have much momentum. You know, Dwight Howard's going to come to play, but I think the whole Houston Rockets team's going to come to play because he was kind of an annoying teammate the last few seasons.
Give me Dwight, who's got, I think, a little bit more anger in this situation. I think he's going to play really well. I like the Hawks at home tonight.
All right, so there's another one we disagree on. On to the Kings and Bucks, two teams that aren't very good, but this could be an interesting one.
Give me the Bucks at home. I think the Kings are struggling a little bit. Now they're 2-4. They're a little bit tough on the road. And the Greek Freak's been very special, 24-8-6. Here's another guy that if he could throw his name in the hat, if he keeps playing like this, obviously he probably won't win it. But the Bucks at home, give me Milwaukee at home.
If the Bucks somehow landed at like a top three seed, he could have a possible chance at it because, like you said, his numbers are crazy. And he's kind of doing everything from that team. He's playing point guard now, setting up his teammates, making everybody better. And his Euro step is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, he's like, his length, he's one dribble from half.
Yo, it is so crazy. Like, if he has any type of momentum driving to the rim at you, you really almost have no chance because he could Euro step and just throw it down on you real quick because his arms are so long.
So you're going with the Bucks.
I'm going with the Bucks. Yeah, I'm going with the Bucks. I think they're starting to build a little bit of momentum. The Kings, like you said, are kind of inconsistent. D. Cousins has been throwing up some big-time numbers. He's been awesome. I expect a big game from him tonight. But I think the Bucks should get the win.
Well, now we look at our game of the night. Two best teams that are playing tonight. Not the two best teams, but the best matchup of the night. Excuse me. We got Kawhi has been great. Chris Paul has been pretty good to start the year. The Clippers visit the Spurs. Who do you got?
Give me the Spurs. I think they'll pull off the win. They had their one loss. They kind of Popovich probably reamed them up for that against the Jazz at home. I don't think they'll lose at home twice in 1 week.
You know what? I'm going to take the upset. I'm going to go with the Clippers. I think this Spurs team has been good, but not as good as I thought they were going to be. I've seen some signs of brilliance from them, but there's a little bit of dysfunction, I think, with Parker and some of the other guys that I've seen some chemistry things, and especially in their loss to the Jazz. I'm going to take the upset. We have three games that we disagree on. I'm going to need the Bulls, Hawks, and Clippers to do me a favor tonight and pull me a little bit closer to you on the standings list. But I could see this game going right down to the wire.
Yeah, I thought all those three games you just mentioned could go either way.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think any of them are locks just because the teams are pretty close in competition. And
well, the spreads are, you know, the spreads are 3, 2.5, and 4, so the Vegas agrees.
I'll definitely keep my eye on that. Before we wrap it up today, I want to ask you, who has a better chance of averaging a triple-double this season, Russell Westbrook or LeBron James?
LeBron is averaging 22, 10, and 9, and Westbrook's averaging 34, 10, and 9.6. Wow, what a question, Nick. You're going to spring this on me on an 11:30 on a Saturday. Oh, wow, this is a tough one.
It is.
Westbrook, because he has to do more. LeBron, because I don't think that's in, like, anything he cares about, really. But if LeBron's close, he might go for it, too. But these are the two MVP candidates in the early season. You have to think that they're the top two. And now if you look at the 3, 4, 5, you're probably looking like Lillard and Leonard and, you know, maybe throw like Greek Freak, like we said, or anybody else like DeRozan. But the two best players in basketball thus far, and this pains me to say because I still think Curry's better than Westbrook, and I'll continue to say that, but it's not fair to say that Curry's been better than Westbrook to start these first five games. So the best two players in basketball right this moment are LeBron and Westbrook. I know everyone's going to go crazy and all of our OTG guys that have been on me about the Curry thing. I'd still take Curry on my team. Do not get me wrong when I say this. I'm going to take Curry before Westbrook, but he's been better to start the season, which means that right now, if the season ended right this moment, LeBron is the MVP, Westbrook is second, but that's going to go back and forth all year. I think LeBron wants the MVP. I think he does.
I mean, he could want it too. And I, like I mentioned a million times, I think on the podcast, LeBron's kind of taking on more of a facilitator role. You know, Kyrie stepped up as a scorer. They have plenty of guys in this team that can. So LeBron, you know, I think it's a real possibility from the average or triple-double.
Yeah, because he doesn't care about scoring.
Yeah, and the only thing that's really going to hurt him is the minutes, you know, because he's not going to have to play as many minutes as Westbrook. Westbrook's going to have to be on the floor 40 minutes a lot of nights for them to get the win. LeBron's going to be able to sit on the bench for the fourth quarter for a lot of games when the Cavs get the win. This is tough for me. Part of me thinks that, like, LeBron kind of wants to do it, so I'm going to go with LeBron on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take Westbrook in, you know, and as far as triple-double watches, they're both a triple-double threat every night, just like the Greek Freak has become a triple-double threat. And he's become – he could be a quadruple-double threat. He could be a guy – and listen, I'm not kidding when I say this. He could have a game with, like, 20 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 10 blocks, and 10 steals. Like, that's not – like, it's crazy to say that, but it actually could happen.
Yeah, it could happen. I mean, a lot of things would have to go right for that to happen.
Well, think about this: at least seven blocks and five steals. Like he could.
You could see a 5x5 for him.
Yeah, definitely. But I'm saying in a double or triple overtime game, you could see him post the impossible, not only quadruple double, but what would you even call that?
I don't even know, but I mean, I think the 10 blocks would be hard. I could definitely see the 10 steals, the 10 blocks. The other team has to be pretty bad to, like, let him get 10 blocks on him. But, you know, maybe a game against
his career. He has two – he only has – looking at his log so far, he's had a 3 in a game this year. His season high in steals has been 2. So maybe season high in a rebound has been 11. His assist is 9. So he's definitely as well-rounded as they – I mean, if his jump shot improves, he's one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, no, he would be incredibly difficult to defend.
He's 21 years old.
And his jump shot right now is like not – I wouldn't even say it's okay. So there's plenty of room for improvement. So this kid is going to be an issue in the league going forward.
Milwaukee has a chance, man. Jabari Parker is a very good young player too.
Jabari does a great job finding that open spot on the floor and getting the easy dunks. He does a great job filling the lane. It always seems like every night you see the kid grab a couple dunks. And that's not just because he's athletic, because he's recovering. He's still probably not 100% from the ACL, but he does a great job finding those open spots.
And they get Sacramento and then Dallas and New Orleans. You could see them at 6-2, and that would be good.
A lot of confidence.
Yeah, a lot of confidence. But, it's going to be a fun night tonight, and you'll hopefully join us for our live show on Wednesday. Maybe we'll have a guest. We're not sure yet, but hopefully that Wednesday live show, everyone joins us. And again, appreciate all the support and listeners that we've gotten thus far.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening. Make sure you hit that subscribe button either on YouTube, SoundCloud, or iTunes. And have a great day and enjoy the NBA basketball.